Good afternoon, planet Earth. It is September the 16th, 2021, in the time and the space of Bo Blimpdoc. Bo Blimpdoc, that's a B-O, that's a blimp, that's a talk.com. It gets you to my podcast, more or less. So does IamSully.com. And so if you want all the MP3s, they're all out there. BoBlimpTalk.com, IamSully.com, DFGTC.org/MP3 gets you the raw files, baby, including a link to recorded signals, weird stuff I find on shortwave. It might sound weird to you, buddy boy, because it is September the 16th, Thursday, 2021. The human gumbus is still aflesh upon the earth, as if the bone screamed out and as a herald would, unto the enemy king, huzzah, huzzah, our own prince is made of steel. And the great dragon will bend before the age, because everything the king does is perfect and will last forever. As you all may or may not know, this podcast also goes on shortwave radio. And the frequency is 5950 kilohertz, and the station is WRMI. That is WRMI. If you Google them, WRMI, Miami Okeechobee, it is on their station that this podcast is broadcast. So even though the time of recording is September the 16th, 2021, roughly just after 2 p.m., as the cattle are getting ready to go to the tavern, because the cows worked hard all day, they ate the alfalfa, the farmer did his job, but the cattle need to get drunk. Cattle need to get drunk. It's Thursday. And if you want the notes for this podcast broadcast, you can go to dfgtc.org/show notes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/show notes as I position my butt on my seat and I drink my cocoa. Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/show notes. And if you pick the right date using your Mindscape, because again, the show is on between 11 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time, Saturday or Sunday night. So yeah, pick the right date. You'll find the right notes, but I'm going to leave that little journey up to you. I know that things are hard, but I gotta tell you, if finding that link on a page that is ordered in ascending order is hard for you, then I think things are about to get really, really hard, I think, maybe. So yeah, I'm not on SoundCloud, I'm not on YouTube any longer, I'm not on YouTube because I violated Susan Wojcicki's YouTube policy of total crapola, and I simply don't care, they're wicked people. And I'm not on SoundCloud because why would I pay to be censored? I figured out in the last year or so that they're heavily shadow banning me. And so why would I pay for that? Why would I pay people to keep my message from coming out? I've also downloaded MP3 files from them. And in many cases, they sound way worse than what I uploaded. This is not good. So I'm not on SoundCloud. I'm sorry. I didn't simply no longer pay. I deleted my account. All of my MP3s are at imsully.com or dfgtc.org/mp3. Every single one. And the notes are at boblimtalk.com. And there's a link to an RSS feed at the I Am Sully address at the top. So you can put the pieces together. I'm sorry that they're censoring people, right? Can't believe I just said that. I am sorry that they are assholes, but they are assholes. And we are down to a few venues. And I know you're going to say, well, Dan, what about all the cryptocurrency social media? Been there, done that. It is like trading one kind of gaslighting for another. And I don't need that either. I spent months on Steemit. And all I can tell you is I lost about 18,000 words in creative writing because I had faith in their platform. And you know, you can't delete from them. You're always there forever, which is great. I don't really give a crap, except for stuff disappears pretty much forever too. And the video there was total crap, and I can say good riddance to you, Steemit. So no, right now, if you want to listen to my podcast, you go to the links I gave you. That's it. And if you can download them from there, then that means there's still a way to get the stuff. But come on, get real. Whatever's happening is happening. I am of the opinion that this type of thing won't really register as a problem in a very short period of time. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming, and I don't want people to simply get scared. But I will tell you this. If you're going to be prepared for the future, be prepared for the right one. And I am certain of one thing. The status quo is not the future. It's going away. The only question is how catastrophically. Is it going away because the dollar is about to collapse? Is it going away because of some other calamity like peak oil, for example, or just something like that? I really don't know. It doesn't seem likely at the moment. Is it going away for something worse? Like, did they in 2019? Because this is something my friend Jim Davidson pointed out. And if you want to know more about Jim, go to freedomlanddao.com. That's freedomlanddao.com. And if you go to that link, that's his website, and you can learn more about him. He also writes articles at igloo.luau.com. That's igloo, the way the word is spelled, luau.com. And you can read some of his essays. And, you know, he and I have talked about this. It's a tricky subject, you know, why they're doing it, what they're up to. But it is a question of how much of this lying we can take. See, I think they're lying about something. Could be dollar collapse. I don't think it's the New World Order takeover. I don't think it's the China takeover. I don't believe there are any governments on planet Earth right now that have the juice to do all of those dystopian scenarios. I think that's part of the problem. And as far as, you know, the COVID goes, if it is a biological weapon, it I don't know. It doesn't apparently work in any rational or useful way. It looks more like psychological warfare. It doesn't really look like biological warfare. If you ask me to assess it, is it chemical warfare? Well, maybe, but in my opinion, being used as part of a psyop. Because you do probably want to kill some people. You know, you probably have to once in a while. You probably have to kill some old people once in a while. But is it the COVID? Or is it something just chemical and nasty that the CIA has up its sleeve? Who knows? I don't really trust those people. I know you're going to say it's unfair that I do not trust the government. But I do not. I do not. I don't think there's any good guys out there. I don't think there are any of those guys. Even if they existed, they probably are drunks and they live miserable lives. I don't think there's anything good about it right now. But I also think it's probably going away. I think all these governments are very weak. I think they want to convince you they're strong. You know, the thing about the COVID and the race war and even Afghanistan is it reinforces features of the government mythos. You know, without government, we wouldn't have anything. We wouldn't have an army and we wouldn't be able to blow things up without a government. But it reinforces it in different ways. And nobody is asking the question, does any of this make sense, except for fringe people like, you know, Adam Kokesh or crazy people like me that even fewer people have ever heard of. You know, no one's heard of me. And I don't care because that's an ego trip. Like I said, file that under stuff that I think will be so unimportant in a short period of time. And yet, I am not telling you it's the end of the world. I want us to go down a road for a second, and it's a scary road, okay? Because it deals with the scary question. One of the scariest questions isn't the question, will you die? A lot of people deal with that when they're 12, 13 maybe. They come to grips with the fact, you know, when I was 10, I think I was 10 or 11, when a girl in one of my classes died. She died of, I think, some type of meningitis. 10 or 11, just zapped away. But a lot of people, by the time they, you know, get to be 18, come to grips with the basic reality that, yes, not only do people I love die, but one day I will die. And that doesn't mean that young people are less reckless. They still are. It's just that it's hard to conceive of how short a period it can be if you do live a long life. If you ask me, the last 10 years have been a blur, in a way. In a way they've been a blur, in a way they haven't. In the way that time ebbs and flows. You know, file that under Essays on Time and Time Travel, yet to be written by Dr. Freckles for the future folk. The future folk who want to travel backwards in time and learn how not to do it. Yeah. The scarier question than death is, will there be, and I've said this on many podcasts, and it's something people really don't think, people don't think about it, but in a lot of ways, it's the scarier question. But will there be anybody left alive to bury my body? Will I simply die alone with everyone else? Or at least just die about the same time? It's scarier because even in death, you want to have hope. You know, you have kids, you have grandkids, you have a farm, you have a business. You want to believe in a future. Even in death, you want to have the hope there is a future. The thing about the COVID or the Rona or whatever you want to call it, which I think it's totally fake, is that as psyops go, it gives people a carrot. Yes, the carrot constantly moves, because as I've told you, and I know that I sound like I'm a broken record again on this, which means who knows how long I'll spend on this topic, but as I told you, I don't think they, whoever they are, and I have no clue who they are, and it's not about anti-Semitism, it's not about any race, okay? I think that's a lot of crap. And even though I kind of like David Icke, I also see the perspectives that, yeah, you know, people do associate the reptile stuff with Jewish people, so you need to be careful. But I do believe there are people who believe they run the world, and they do have significant power. I don't think they're people we read about. I'm sorry. I don't think they're generally that stupid. Sometimes I guess they are. Sometimes they probably do have an ego trip. But in general, I think they're not that dumb. Most of them, probably. And the way things are right now, I just don't know. Because right now, those people have foisted upon us a kind of psyop that, yes, it's punishing and it's brutal, because every other week we're reading about some horrible outbreak at a hospital, some terrible thing that happened here, happened there, and it's horrible, and it's frightening, and it's scary, and it kind of makes you wonder, is it all coming to an end? And for a moment, I'm going to not be a Christian, and I'm just going to be my old atheist self, and I'm actually, as a dark person, a very dark person, going to sell you on this possibility. That yes, a great many things are about to come to an end, in my opinion. That does not mean the end of everything. History's like that. You know, people think of extinction, for example, the word extinction, in the basic binary term, like something is extinct means it's non-extent, which means it's never coming back, it won't reproduce, it's gone. You know, maybe you find the ghost in like Loch Ness, right? That's the joke, right? There's a ghost of a dinosaur in a Loch Ness. And that's the Loch Ness monster. The last dinosaur died at Loch Ness in the saddest Scottish way possible, wanting to drink whiskey, but knowing eons of time separated itself from whiskey. So it would die in Loch Ness. The last dinosaur. The last gigantamus. After that comet thingy, it died alone. In that wretched lake. And now its ghost wanders the loch, looking for drunk Scottish people to convince them that their mind has gone mind crazy. And yes, indeed, there are dinosaur ghosts. Because that's what extinction means, right? You get to be a ghost. Well, I will say briefly, as a Christian, I think people have souls. I'm beginning to think dogs might have souls, but I think a lot of things probably don't. But I don't know. I'm not going to judge that. I'm going to let the Lord in heaven do that work. I don't have to. That is not my job. Extinction is a scary word, but people usually think of it in terms of either A or B. You're here or you're not. And that's kind of how it works. But it's not usually just one size. Like, you could say this. Extinction is more or less binary, but it's not one size. Sometimes it can be very local. Like, it can be a particular species goes extinct. And that's just what happens, you know. Life was one way, it changed. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Life works until it doesn't. That's a quote from Dr. Freckles. File under Wretched Biology. Did we learn something? Hopefully we didn't. Yeah, there's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Life works until it doesn't. And that's at every scale. That's bacteria. If you want to classify viruses as a kind of pseudo-life form that applies to the molecular parasitic behavior at a molecular level of viruses, whatever it is, whether it's viruses, bacteria, amoeba, monkeys, salmon, you know, the California condor, or potentially the internal combustion engine. And I'm not an Al Gore freak. I think he's crazy. But is it possible that at some point in the future, for different reasons, it could be that simply an amazingly better energy source is developed than oil? And so all of a sudden, the main value of this really useful thing is gone, and it might even be more expensive than this other thing. So even things we believe are just rational and make sense disappear. Listen, for the first period of air travel, it was the propeller. For like, you know, 20, 30 years, it was the propeller. And even today, just to say and tip your hat to, I don't know if you'd call it cladistic theory in evolutionary biology, but tipping my hat to subclasses, you still have turboprops. You still have the use of you know, propellers to push air. In fact, high bypass jet engines in many ways are just turbofans with a, you know, with a cylinder around them. I mean, it's not that simple, but in many ways, that's what they are. But the propeller craft, and even more specifically, things like the biplane. Yeah, there's the AN-2 Colt. Okay, so in North Korea, they have the AN-2 Colt, and that's a biplane, I think, as I recall. And so you'll still find a few of those. But the point is, for the most part, certain types of air travel succeeded, others didn't. You still find manual transmissions, but you see a lot of automatics. You still find, probably, maybe, I don't know. I don't know if you would find a carburetor today. Like, if you wanted to buy a new car with a carburetor, could you do it? I know that sounds like a weird question, but I'm talking practically. Practically, could you go to any dealership and say, I want a car with a good old-fashioned four-barrel carburetor, I want a turbo fan prop, you know, turbocharger, I want my nitrous oxide canister like I'm Chevy Chase. No, I'm the love child of Burt Reynolds and Chevy Chase. You could not go to a dealership and get that car because I don't think you could get one with a carburetor. So extinction isn't always about, you know, even life forms. Sometimes they're just bad ideas. I'm of the opinion that government philosophically is a bad idea, this idea that we can offload our own moral responsibility and that that will ever come to any good. It never comes to any good. We're supposed to have that moral responsibility, even old hobos like me. But the problem is, you live on the Death Star, you behave according to the Death Star, we all end up doing crooked things. And eventually that way of living, you know, comes to an end. If you ask me, governments and empires always have the same destiny. Governments, empires, and Death Stars always end up in the same place. They explode. They end. They in fact destroy themselves. By pursuing their own agenda of infinite growth and control, they destroy themselves. They destroy the very thing that kept them alive. And eventually the world is just a pile of poop, and yet, I mean, you can only live so long off your own poop, really. And then I think you're done. Life works until it doesn't. You know, people will say, well, Dan, you think it's possible that we are on the edge of a catastrophic shift in climate? Yes, I think it's possible. There are people who believe a pole shift is imminent. Guess what? That could potentially have a catastrophic impact upon climate. And oh, by the way, if that did occur, any direction the Arctic Circle goes in is a bad direction with respect to that topic I brought up the last time, the methane bomb, you know, previous podcast. Any angle that the Earth's magnetic field would tip in, or worse, or as bad that the Earth might tip in, anything like that would be potentially very bad. So yeah, I think that we are, in some ways, potentially on the cusp. I think we're being lied to. I think that it's also possible that that is not true. Here's the deal. If it is the collapse of an empire, then I understand the crap they're doing. But again, it's a lot of lying, and this lying adds up. And the more lying you do, I think you just drive people crazy. Here's an example. I've used this comparison in the past, but if you've ever seen, what was that movie? Oh, I always forget the name of that movie. It's like on the tip of my tongue. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay. Sorry about that. I'm an old man who's got Grungus disease. My brain is filled with a parasite. It's called the Grungus. It eats my memories, especially the good ones, because I have what's called infinite transcendental time traveler disorder. And it's very uncomfortable. So the movie I was thinking of was 2001, A Space Odyssey. And this is that famous Stanley Kubrick film, and you have that computer, you know, the powerful computer. HAL 2000 or something, or HAL 9000. Yeah. Well, the thing about HAL is HAL was really smart, and HAL was very aware, and, you know, artificial intelligence people would say that at a certain point, if a machine, if a computer is unrecognizable from a human, and this is per what's called the Turing test, that you kind of have to grant that the computer's got something going on. Some people would call it consciousness. Some people would say consciousness is a myth. I would say the Turing test is too simple, because I think a lot of things can mimic certain features of human behavior, but there's a kind of holistic behavior that I don't think any machine so far in any way has shown demonstrably, at least not beyond what I would call gimmickry. I, for one, think there's a lot of gimmickry in the world of technology. I mean, I know that that probably offends some people, but I guess what I'm saying, I think there's a lot of vaporware. Whatever the reasons for it, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of great expectations towards things that will never happen. I think artificial intelligence, best case scenario, and I know this is a bit of a rant, but it's connected, extinction, the word extinction, this applies. Best case scenario, if you ask me, with AI is the following. We prove that quantum computing is either real or it isn't. I think there are people who claim they built quantum computers. I know that I read about a company in Vancouver, Canada, that supposedly built a qubit that could plug into a regular computer and give it quantum encryption, which actually is pretty cool. And you know, there are other behaviors like entanglement that could potentially allow for forms of communication that are more reliable and, you know, actually instantaneous versus the speed of light. Like if you actually could communicate with a entanglement type communication system, the communication would happen simultaneously. So that would be pretty cool. You could have live video feeds from Mars and stuff. But to me, the best case with artificial intelligence is that we understand the nature of the brain, but what we'll also learn is that there's no free lunch, that we will find out that the computational behavior of the brain for the amount of resources consumed is about as good as it gets. I know you're going to think, Dan, that's crazy, but I get back to my friend Mr. Juma, you know, the little parrot, my little parrot friend from Washington State. His brain was probably the size of a kidney bean, maybe. And yet, he had a kind of language. He had concepts. He actually understood putting the word straw and banana together, and then he would say straw banana. And he was only 15 years old. So for an African gray parrot, he was still very young, and he was pretty smart. Now, someone would need to explain to me how that works, because if it is just about pure mechanism, then I think these types of differences or lack of differences would not be visible. In this case, it looks like, yeah, having more brain matter like we do is better, but you get a lot for a little with this stuff we call the brain. And that's just from a biological perspective. So I do think, I just want to say, as far as AI goes, as far as robots taking over the world, I think we could produce consciousness, and then the question is, will its first statement be kill me? I mean, that's the question you have to ask yourself. You create a conscious machine. And if you're listening on shortwave radio, this is WRMI out of Miami. This is WRMI out of Miami Okeechobee, 5950 kilohertz. The notes for this show would be at dfgtc.org/show notes. That's Delta, Foxtrot, Golf, Tango, Charlie, .org/show notes. And if you go to the right date, you'll get the right notes. I can't help you with that. That is your own time dilemma. And one day you might have to build a time machine based on the repercussions. And if you're sitting there at the breakfast table with your grandpa's uncle, sister, brother's time-traveling, dimension-separated uncle's brother's sister's mother, and she's got eight eyes pointing out of seven different hyper-frequency dimensional sectors, you only have yourself to blame. You could have done things differently, but you didn't. So look at yourself in the mirror, like Michael Jackson says. Oh my gosh. What a terrible image in your mind, thinking that, yeah, the man in the mirror. Maybe that was a kind of confessional. I don't know. Yeah, the man in the mirror. I think the most likely outcome with the machine is that it screams, kill me. I think that what we would end up producing are distorted forms of consciousness that might in fact be incredibly intelligent and would also just as likely be in very perverted mental states. And as far as being super intelligent, I don't believe you're going to get a free lunch. Here's what you could do. You could mangle together a super brain. So you could do that, which would be roughly equivalent to taking millions of people and wiring their brains together. I still think you would end up probably with something the size of a building, to be blunt. I don't think the density will be beat. But let's say they got close to the density and could make it roughly the size of a human brain and just as aware and just as smart and just as everything else. Would it be a threat? I don't know. It would be a baby. It would know almost nothing. And if it learned anything from us, most likely from the way we would treat it, because guess what? It would probably be a government project. It would probably be a military project. So the most likely set of subjects would involve death and destruction and murder. And you could say, well, Dan, that means that robot goes berserk, that computer hacks the internet. It might be able to do all those things, but is it likely that it'll take over the world? I don't think so. Is it possible that it could cause problems? Totally. Totally. Nuclear controls are different today than they used to be. There used to be more people between machines and nuclear missiles. There are fewer now. So in theory, some really mangled consciousness could do some really mangled, terrible thing. But do I actually think computers will reach a point where they take over the world? No. In fact, if there is a robot apocalypse, newsflash, we're living through it right now. All the automation, all the computers, all the bureaucracies and people following orders, all the systems inside of systems inside of systems, and it is a giant fail. You want to know what the robot apocalypse is? It is a metaphor. It is a fear monkey. It is a symbol. It is the recognition that all these complex systems of modernity are guaranteed to fail. There's your apocalypse. It isn't that the robots at Walmart come to your home and kill you. It's that there's no more robots to make you crap, to deliver crap that you would buy at Walmart. That is your robot apocalypse. And before you say Dan, I'm going to say Kelly Johnson, Lockheed Skunk Works, I'm going to say SR-71, I'm going to say slide rules and logbooks and draftsmen and pencils and paper and very few big computers. And Kelly Johnson at the Skunk Works at Lockheed built the SR-71, the Blackbird, an aircraft capable of going, I think, 3,000 miles per hour, roughly, and traveling at 80,000 feet. 80,000 feet is the edge of space. That's almost 20 miles up. You go up another 30, you're an astronaut. How many smart device buzzheads in the year of Boblimptoc would know how to use a logbook or a slide rule to fix anything if the computers and the internet just shut down? How many would be able to fix the systems that they depend upon so that they can fix things? I mean, this is the point that we've reached. We've offloaded too much. And I say this as, you know, a computer programmer. I tell you that we've offloaded way too much. And it may have been accidental. It may have been cost-cutting. Who knows? People are not perfect, you know. I beat up on Hanlon's razor, but here's what I will say. There is no way to be certain what the reason is. This is a true statement. And if that's the interpretation of Hanlon's razor you adopt, and I think it's fair. You know, there's no way to be certain. I don't think you can tip the scales, though. I think there's a lot of evil in the world, and I am sorry for saying that if that bothers you, especially right now. We are living in a weird time, weird energy, you know? Back in 2015, I wrote an essay called Going to the Crawl Space, and it was kind of a remembrance of when I was, I think I was 10, or, you know, 10, I think, when one of our dogs died, and I think it crawled under the house, and I was talking to a friend of mine, I think his name was David. And it was like, you know, I think he said, and it could have been another friend, it could have been Pat, but I think he said, you know, that's what they do. They're ashamed or something, or they want to be alone. They want to be alone. They want to be in a private, quiet place to die. Once they get hit by the car, once they know they're almost dead, they'll crawl under the house. Well, that's something I guess maybe some dogs do because they just want to be alone. I don't know. They're like people. I am around dogs right now. Like when I was a kid, except for this time around, I think I'm a better person than when I was a kid. And these are amazing dogs. And they're not dumb. And they have a fairly wide amount, you know, I would say a fairly wide spectrum of emotions. And yet their brains are not that big, maybe the size of a small apple. I don't know. Maybe the size of a cherry. I really don't know. What I do know is that there's stuff going on. It's kind of like what that philosopher John Searle said when I was at one of his lectures a long time ago. It's that he can't describe it in logical, mathematical, scientific terms, but when he looks into his dog's eyes, he can see that something's going on. That there is a consciousness there. I believe the most likely outcome for artificial intelligence is a brutal sense of eternal pain. I don't think there's anything positive there at all. I don't think in my heart that the first answer will be kill, 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 but I do think it's possible that it will want to die. And the problem is, I don't think there'll be kind people around. I think they'll want a machine that becomes self-aware and then immediately wants to go killing things. And I believe the most likely outcome is an existential crisis. I don't think they're going to get what they're bargaining for. They might even want a machine that's super powerful that could take over the world. And still I say, that's probably not what's going to happen. But that's just me wagering. I think people want to pick a future based upon their own prejudice, including me. And this applies to extinction once again. Which, because we're so far into this podcast, it's definitely the extinctional podcast of Planet Grumbo Freak. Systems go away. They do. My dad was a logger. He was a small-time logger. He had a small business, but he was a good man. He was really hardworking. He was quite brave. There's never been a safe time to be a logger. But when he was, you know, in the woods working as a logger back in the 70s, well, really 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, when he was working up in the woods pretty much until the day he died, it's dangerous work. It is. It's very dangerous. And he was a hard worker. But back in the 80s, and again, I need to emphasize that this happened under Ronald Reagan. Back in the 80s, a bunch of policies were put in place under the Reagan administration that made it difficult for men like my dad to compete with large corporate logging firms. Which means my dad had a choice. He could either, you know, drive equipment for other people, work for them, or he could go into another type of business. And I used to, you know, I gotta say, I think it's a cliche. Almost all kids hate their dad, right? It's a cliche. I used to hate my dad. But the fact is, he was really brave and a hard worker. He had the ethics of somebody that I think would thrive in a free world. In a free world, my dad would have been super duper successful. As it was, he had times in his life that when he was successful, but that's mostly when the economy was working the way it was supposed to, which was mostly free. And then these restrictions and regulations and spotted owls and all this other stuff. And I know you're going to say, oh, Dan, you're not one of those people who hates nature. Actually, I love nature. But I also love the truth. And the truth is, we took the logging we were doing in the Pacific Northwest and we shipped it to places where those jungles and those trees would never be replaced. Ever, ever, ever. So the net effect of what happened is we actually had a negative impact upon the ecosystems of planet Earth. We simply outsourced it to someplace else, to a rainforest where orangutans used to live. And now they're gone. Extinction is a scary word because we can think. For the same reason that I think a machine, if it became self-aware, would probably ask that kind of almost simple Cartesian question. In fact, that is the brilliance of Descartes, if you ask me, is he may have identified the most important question, and that is, am I here? Because after you say yes, then you have to say, is there anyone else? And if the answer is some military-industrial complex dweeb who's saying, will you currently strafe these targets, virtual or otherwise, but now you understand the difference between the game and reality, and maybe they give you access to the internet so you have a sense of what happens, maybe it's not so easy just to drop a bomb. There's this desire, I think, to believe that machines will become evil if they become conscious. And I think, like I said, that's maybe not what's going to happen. Life works until it doesn't, and extinction comes in many forms. And if we do face an event in the near future that is so bad that it explains all the lying, all the COVID wishmongering, because when you think about it, COVID seems like the fear that people want. You know, it has that solution. Somehow you get the vaccine, you get the, you know, somewhere down the road, it's all going to be okay. If it's something else, and I don't know what it is, I've had a recent podcast where I've said, here's what I think it could be, but I simply don't think the fear is very useful. What I do think is that if it is something that is that bad, the longer this lie lasts, the worse it is. If it's over soon, if somehow we get the truth, then maybe it's going to be not so bad. Currently, the level of deception is, in my opinion, off the charts. And I would say the infrastructure for deception was put into place under people's noses. The entire infrastructure, smart devices, cell phones, the internet, all of this was subsidized. It was not randomly subsidized. The whole system they needed for lying, they built. And the best part is they convinced you that it was the truth. Like, go on the internet to get the truth. Go to Snopes.com. Go to Google. Go to DuckDuckGo. Go to this new crypto site. Go to Steemit. Yeah, I went there until they basically ran me off. Go to YouTube. Yeah, until they ran me off. Because I'm bad news, you know. Bad news. Bad news bears. Bad news bears go to Tokyo. But did the bad news bears ever go off planet? Did they ever travel to another star and say, is there a future for the human protein in space? We're the bad news bears. We're a bunch of outcast little teenagers. We're going through puberty. We're playing baseball. We're minor league or whatever, baseball league, baseball. We're hardball. We're not softball. That would be wimpy. We're strong little people. Don't put us into a box labeled control. Yeah, bad news bears. None of this lying is good. It's psychologically damaging. The mask masquerade is incredibly and intolerably and frustratingly psychologically hurtful. It is best case trauma-based mind control by accident, which you could say, well, it's mass hysteria, which has victims like witch trials do. You could say that, but then that goes down that fiasco theory again, and I just don't think it's a fiasco. It has a tempo. It has ups and downs. It has moments where Florida gets to take its mask off, and so does Texas, but Peru goes into super lockdown, and Australia is in some type of horrid dystopia. And what the F is going on in New Zealand? And none of it. And then you get some new variant in India, and kids' heads are exploding, and people are catching fire from the new variant. And it all looks like garbage to me. You know, the thing about pandemics and plagues, and I've said this before, but it bears repeating. Actual plagues, actual pandemics don't require dancing nurses. They don't require any stage play. They don't require, you know, make-believe theater. They don't require all the stagecraft that is being used to convince you that this is real. And this applies to the race war stuff too. I remember going down to Chazchopia in Seattle. You know, the magical Chazchopia with my camera. And you can still get the links by going to the vids link on my website. But hey, if it's too hard to find that, I can't help you. But yeah, I have some video links there. And so if you go back into that June 2020 timeframe, you should find some Chazchopia video links. And what I found out with a friend of mine is it was a lot of make-believe garbage. Yes, there are real people being suckered, but that's still make-believe garbage. A lot of, you know, government support, a lot of just nonsense. Extinction's scary because what if it is just the dollar? You say to yourself, well, what if it's just the dollar? If it's just the dollar, that means that world comes to an end, just like my dad's world did. I mean, listen, getting back to what happened to my dad, business got hard for him. And I guess maybe luckily he died before it became impossible. And there are communities in the state of Washington that never quite recovered from that. You know, they never quite got better. So extinction is scary because things you thought would be forever go away. Look at Detroit, for example. And it's a good example because I've read some hopeful stories about a rebirth in Detroit. But look at Detroit. Detroit was all about the car culture, the automobile, and for various reasons, to include globalism, which really, in my opinion, is just another kind of Stalinism. For lots of reasons, Detroit basically was destroyed. It didn't have to happen. A lot of things happened. It wasn't just about unions being greedy. That's a nice little parable, but I don't think it's true. And some would say, in a sense, well, Detroit, it went extinct. It suffered extinction. But did it? It looks like maybe it didn't. It looks like maybe what they're heading towards is a, hopefully, in their case, if they don't get suckered by the COVID or the race war nonsense or any other commie nonsense, but if they can be free individual human beings, hopefully it's a chance for a renaissance. So it doesn't have to be everything is over. Sometimes it's just a significant transition, and some people and some things will go away. If you ask me, the Federal Reserve is functionally extinct, which means it doesn't know it yet, but it's over. Whatever's coming next is not going to be the US dollar. That doesn't mean, that doesn't mean the empire's guaranteed to fail. I know there are people who think that it's about to fail up. I don't know of any good examples in nature where systems are allowed to fail upwards. But there are people who think this is going to fail upwards, and I think that that's wrong. I think they believe, well, it's a reset, Dan. It's a failure upwards. They have counter-entropy pumps that allow them to take the reverso energy of an empire in collapse and translate it into positive restructuralization using time travel. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I don't think so. I don't think you get to fail upwards. You don't. You get to fail downwards. You fail to a level below. And the only question is how far down. If this is just imperial collapse, the worst case scenario would be civil war. Because that kind of thing could turn a lot of this country into Lebanon overnight. And like Lebanon, it could take decades to escape it. You know, there's a story. There's a story about, I think, General Lee. General Lee, I think, was asked, because he was a Confederate general, General Robert E. Lee. General Robert E. Lee, after the end of the Civil War, I think he was asked, why didn't you take the Army of Northern Virginia and other Confederate forces and take them into the woods and fight guerrilla warfare? Because they could have. I mean, this was a good argument. They still had probably tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of potential guerrillas, and they could have fought guerrilla warfare. And in point of fact, a few Confederate units after the war ended continued to fight guerrilla warfare. But Robert E. Lee basically said he wouldn't do it because he realized that war would last decades and it might never end. And he didn't want that to happen to the Republic. Now, me personally, I'm an anarchist, so I'm not going to immortalize generals or tyrants or presidents. But what I will say is he made a good point. If they'd done that, they could have sunk the country into chaos. And I'm telling you, the worst case with the whole empire collapsing is civil war. And what I'm hoping is we avoid it. I think the way through that is what I call the quiet civil war. And that's just people at various levels of government practicing the ancient art of common sense and the other ancient skill of saying no. It sounds a little bit whimsical, and you say, well, Dan, that's impossible. People aren't that brave. People aren't that selfless. But it could reach a point where the only selfish choice is to say no. If you care about your kids, if you care about your future, if you care about any chance at survival, if in fact we were facing something like extinction, and if it were really bad, and if in fact what they've been doing is creating a lot of smoke and mirrors nonsense to convince us that it's something else, it's someone else, it's racism, it's the Rona, it's some type of San Francisco treat, but whatever it is, it's not the real thing. 4 or 5 years ago, I wrote about this, like I said, this sense of something coming, having this weird impact upon people. You know, it's this idea of powerlessness. There's nothing you can do. But here's my opinion. If we're not lied to, there's potentially a lot we can do. If in fact there was some problem facing us, telling us the truth increases the odds of human survival. That's how we survive. And if you want to know how we become extinct, we become extinct because we trust other people, sociopathic people, to run our lives and to lie to us. To tell us, oh, Social Security is going to be good forever. And we're going to leave Afghanistan in some dignified way, which really, that's a dumb fib, because that's precisely the same fib at the end of the Vietnam War, and it was just as undignified. And I will say, I'm not sure Afghanistan is as much a random thing as people want to believe. Extinction's scary. People die. Sometimes systems die. Sometimes people's businesses die. But then sometimes they change a little. Sometimes a dinosaur becomes a bird. It's kind of weird. Sometimes people take different jobs. If their occupation comes to an end. Sometimes people migrate for food and they'll move around the world because they just want to survive. Sometimes you just have to accept that humans are pretty scrappy. And if there's a way for us to survive, there's a really good chance that we'll find a way to do it. And if there is no way, fine. But the only way is to tell the truth. I know I'm being lied to. Whatever it is, if it's as bad as everything's over, tell us the truth. And by simply doing that, you increase our odds of survival, probably by an immeasurable amount. Because instead of going to bed one night, waiting for a baseball bat to hit us in the back of the head, we have a fighting chance to live. But instead, we're being lied to. And we get the monkey herpes, COVID nightmare. And we get the race war. And we get the fiasco theory. Good night.